interested to see this number out tonight. And if you take your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, Matthew chapter 27, and that's where we'll begin our study. And we want to read one verse to get the thought for our study, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, I've often wondered what it would be like to hear a voice from heaven. And no doubt, if any of us ever heard a voice from heaven, it would grab your attention. And this evening, for just a few moments of our time, I want us to take note of the time you could hear a voice directed from heaven. And then I like to take note of a time when heaven was silent, when you might think God would have spoken. If you take your Bible this evening and turn with me to the book of Luke and the 2nd chapter, I want you to examine that at the birth of Christ, that heaven was not silent. That when Jesus came and was born of the Virgin, you remember that they had taken the child, they had wrapped him in swaddling cloths, they laid him in the manger, and then the Bible says in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" When Christ came into this world and took on flesh, the angels came down from heaven and sang. His glory was not hidden from their eyes as he took on flesh, though many a person never recognized him. The angels of heaven, they sang and praised him. And here they said, "Glory to God in the highest." They were glorifying God that the Son of God would leave heaven and put on flesh. And the angels praise God. Some want to know, is it wrong to praise Christ? I'll tell you, it's never wrong to praise Christ. If so, the angels would have been wrong in saying, "Glory to God in the highest." So tonight, I recognize that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He was God who put on flesh. And then I read where when he was born in the flesh, the angels rejoiced, the angels praised God. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 3rd chapter, think about when Jesus was baptized. Now here was Jesus who had never violated any of God's commands. Here's Jesus who had never sinned. And yet Jesus was baptized. You remember that when he came to his cousin John and said, "I want to be baptized," John tried to refuse baptizing him. John said, "I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus said, "To fulfill all righteousness, baptize me." So John immersed the Christ. And then if you take your Bible in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, you'll notice with Jesus coming up out of the water, notice what occurred. In verse 16, you remember the Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on him. And then in verse 17, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Could you imagine what it was like on that occasion when the voice from heaven spoke? When you heard the voice from on high calling down praise upon his Son? When God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." He recognized his Son and he wanted others to recognize who Jesus was. He wanted them to understand that the one that was coming up out of the water and was being baptized to fulfill all righteousness, though he had no sin, left us an example of what we should do because of our sin. And here he had come up out of the water and the Father says, "I'm well pleased with him." Can you imagine hearing the voice from heaven cry out, "That's my Son, my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with it"? But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter, you remember on this occasion Jesus had climbed a seemingly high mountain. Some people want to say it's Mount Tabor. Some say it's Mount Hermon. The Bible never tells us which mountain it was. But one thing we recognize, it was a high mountain. And the Bible says Jesus led Peter, James, and John, his brother, up on that high mountain in verse 1. And then in verse 2, the Bible says he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And there is Elijah and Moses. Interesting, you have the law and the prophets represented there. And notice, they begin talking with Jesus. Then Peter saw this, and he says, it's good, but we're here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And look at what the Bible says in verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now think about that. A bright cloud overshadows them. Jesus was already shining as a light, the Bible said. His clothes were bright. His face shone like the sun. Now this bright light, this bright cloud, overshadows them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Now can you imagine what that was like? Notice in verse 6 how the disciples responded. Notice the disciples didn't answer the cloud. The disciples were in awe of that noise. The disciples heard of it, fell on their faces, and were greatly afraid. I'll tell you, my friend, anytime you come before the presence of God, it should put awe in your heart. And can you imagine when that voice said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. But this time he adds another statement. In whom I'm well pleased. What a moment. Can you imagine being rebuked by the cloud, the voice of God Himself? And God again reveals that Christ is His only Son, His only begotten Son, His unique Son. Can you imagine that moment? But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter, you remember that when Jesus was being tempted, that after the temptations of the Lord, and the devil had taken him out into the wilderness, and the Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's hungry, and the tempter puts one temptation in front of him after another and led him up to all these temptations. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11. After the Lord had sustained every temptation that Satan had put before him, the devil leaves, and notice the scripture said, behold, angels came and ministered to him. While he was there in the middle of the wilderness, angels came to comfort him. Then in the gospel, you'll find when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was dropping sweat of blood. And there is the Son of God under great strain, knowing He's going to go to the cross. He's at the point of death. The Bible said angels came to strengthen Him again. So in those cases, heaven was not silent. So I want us to stop and think, the day heaven was silent was a day that we should never forget, and that was the day they took Jesus and put Him on the cross. When they mocked Him, if you are the Son of God, come down. If you are who you say you are, don't stay up on that cross. And notice back in Matthew's account that we read a moment ago, in Matthew 27, look at verse 45. From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, there was darkness over all the land. And yet not a word from heaven was spoken. And then Jesus said, my God, why? Every other time you see the Lord from heaven speaking, but this time Jesus is going to fulfill His earthly ministry and there's not going to be an interruption from heaven. At His death, though, notice the earth quaked, the veil was torn, the dead were raised, but God did not speak out at that time. The angels were near the cross awaiting the command to take Him off the cross, and it never was given. You know, time is an element we live in. God doesn't dwell in time. There's no time in heaven. But I tried to imagine those 6 hours of darkness and how the Father looked upon His creation. And think about how God maybe hadn't spoke from heaven, but He spoke through His actions. Because 3 days later, what's He going to do? Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. In the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he says in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us, as usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked," where? "In Christ," when He what? "Raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places." Now I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons here. The first thing I want us to understand is God is not silent today. A lot of people tend to think God is, but open your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the first chapter. When you come to the Hebrew letter and the first chapter, notice at verse 1, the Bible said, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom He's made the worlds." You know, tonight the Lord still speaks. How does He speak to you and I? In a small, still voice? No, sir. In a loud voice from heaven? No, sir. God speaks to us through His holy Word. So tonight I can take the Word, and I understand faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, Romans 10:17. Some people tonight are waiting for a feeling. They're waiting for a voice. They're waiting for God to answer something in some mysterious way. And God never said that's how He works. He said that in times past, He used different methods. But in these last days, He says He speaks to us through His Word. But then I want you to think about something else. That means there's no new revelation. We have all we need in the Bible. That God doesn't need to give us anything else. He's given us what we need for our life. But that brings up something else in our study. Have you ever stopped to think about how Jesus spoke on the cross about His love? Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the fifth chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the fifth chapter, notice what Jesus spoke through His action. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He showed His love. Demonstrated. God, through His Son, showed how much He loves the soul of man. And while we were what? Look at verse 6. "When we were still without strength, He died for" who? "The ungodly." In verse 8, "He showed His love while we were still" what? "Sinners. Christ died for us." Then look down at verse 10. "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." He shows us the love of the Father. He shows us the love He has for the soul. But I'll tell you, some other time we'll recognize heaven's not silent. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. In the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, notice when one sinner repents, what happens? In Luke 15:10, Jesus said, "I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Have you ever thought of the rejoicing in heaven when one who is estranged from God, who needs to be reconciled, makes the decision to be rejoined to Christ? He said, heaven's not silent. Heaven rejoices. But then if you'd look at your Bible one last time in the lesson years, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice with me, if you will, when He returns, there won't be silence. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a" watch it, "shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And you're going to be called up to meet." So you know what all that tells me? I may never hear a voice from heaven while I'm here. I may be dead. I could still be living when He comes again. But eventually there will be a voice. And I want you to understand, everybody will answer. because the Bible says the Lord will descend, and with the voice of an archangel, with a shout, and with the trumpet. And so I better hear him now through his word, lest I hear him say in the day of judgment, I never knew you, depart. I've spoke to you through my word. I gave you my son. I've given you all you need to make your life right. And you've ignored every plea. I'll tell you something. I'm thankful for the message of God. I'm thankful that God looked down and he saw I needed his word, and he gave me his word so I can be reconciled to God. And there's going to come a day I'm going to hear a voice from heaven. Whether I'm in the grave or still alive, I'll hear that voice. I'm going to be called up, and I'm going to be judged. The question is, am I ready for the judgment day? The only reason heaven was silent when Jesus was on the cross is because God looked down and saw our need and allowed his son to be the sacrifice to take away our sin. And because he takes away our sin, there can be joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Isn't that beautiful? Heaven rejoices when one makes their life right. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we pray you recognize you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Heaven will rejoice. Or if you need to be rejoined to Christ, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.